This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sir, Nick Faldo is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, lead analyst for CBS. Of course, partners up with the great Jim Nantz, and he's out there at Bethpage. Sir Nick, welcome back to the show. How you been, buddy?
Can you turn your volume up, guys? I need your end to be a bit louder.
Yep, we'll take care of that. We'll boost it up. How's that, Nick? Is that a little bit better for you?
Give yourself a good boost.
Okay, look, keep boosting. Keep boosting. Nick, is that better
keep
or no?
Keep boosting. One more notch. I'm getting old. He's getting old now.
I don't know if Nick, you want to actually try to call us back? Because I'm being told there's nothing.
No, I got you now.
Gotcha.
I believe I can hear you.
Okay.
We'll try the answers if they match.
Okay. And if you say anything really erroneous, we'll just chalk it up to you not being able to hear us, and we'll give you a little bailout. Let's start with this. I don't know that we need to devote a ton of time to this, but you're a man of fitness. We know that. You're all into keeping yourself fit. Six majors. I would imagine that Nick Faldo has an issue with John Daly getting a card. Listen, we all love John. You know, he's a goofball. But fundamentally, you have to have an issue with this, right?
Yeah, it's nothing to do with John. I say walking is an integral part of playing professional golf. Leave it at that. Simple as that.
Yeah. Okay. And it's not easy out there at Bethpage because you're not supposed to be on a card ever. At Bethpage, you got to walk.
Even if you're just a hack showing up on a weekend, so, you have to walk.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually the very interesting thing. The good old golfers who get up, who wake up at 3 a.m. and come and queue, they have to walk it.
Yeah.
So he's managed to find quite an exception in the loophole in the rule book.
Yeah, and the reason I say that is because there's no cart paths, and so there's going to be places where he's going to have to walk, you know, just to get to where he's got to go. And we'll get to, you know, a little bit of that later as the week goes on. But, Nick, what's the course like? It's been raining for the last 3 or so days. It feels like it should be soggy, but what can you tell us from actually being out there?
No, the drainage is amazing. I mean, I walked a few holes this morning, and it's absolutely fine in that sense. The inside the ropes is fantastic. The preparation is amazing considering I've only had growth on the grass for about like a month. And, the course is a brute. I think that's about the only word. You know about these par fours over 500 yards, and you touch the rough, you better be really smart in what you do, in how you lay up and then continue. But the funny thing in the locker room, you like this, I was in the locker room, and guys would actually say, "Oh, wow, you managed to reach that green. Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Wow.
What did you hit?" And I said, "Well, I hit my rescue." "Oh, wow, you reached the green of a rescue." So it's not like the normal talk is, somebody's hit a driver in a 9-iron into par 4.
Uh-huh.
It's now, "Oh, wow, you managed to reach the green." So I thought that was quite funny.
It's going to be fun for us. We like to see golfers struggle a little bit because it makes us feel a little bit better. That's Sir Nick Faldo, 6-time major winner. He's got 3 Masters, 3 Opens. He's with us here. He's at Bethpage right now on Tiki and Tierney.
You know, when you talk about these players struggling to reach these par fours, I mean, one is, what, 542 yards or so. How much psychologically does that change, a golfer's standpoint, from a golfing standpoint, when they, have to put a little bit extra oomph, whether it's an extra club or a little extra effort? How much does that affect them?
Well, I think if you know you can get there in 2 shots still, and in fact the second shot might be a lot more than normal, well, you kind of have to accept it. You don't want to force it. If you can pound it out there a long way kind of naturally, well, then you get on and do it. But if you're forcing it, that won't last throughout the week because, your swing will get out of sequence. You'll hit one or two bad ones in the hay, and that'll be kind of your week. So you still got to play, within yourself. That's why there's very few guys who can really pound it out there that long, and that's their natural game.
Mm-hmm. Nick, and I said this to Tiki before, but I can't wait to get your answer. It seemed like historically there was a randomness to the PGA Championship, although that certainly changed the last 5 years. You know, the big, the Brooks Koepkas, the Justin Thomases, Jimmy Walker, maybe a step below those players, but certainly a good player. Jason Day, Rory, those are the last five PGA Championship winners. And you go back to guys like Rich Beam, no disrespect, or guys like Wayne Grady, Mark Brooks. There was just, again, a randomness. Why does it seem like the PGA Championship is beginning now to resemble like maybe the Masters, where it seems like the best players are winning again?
Well, they get, they've got the, well, they did have, until there was a couple of withdrawals, they had a, they did have the top 100 in the world here, and I think the whole organization of the PGA has really stepped things up. It's now a huge event. You know, when I played, yes, when we played moons ago, there was a lot going on around the clubhouse, but you could go, you'd be out on the 6th and 7th hole or the 14th and 15th hole, and you fell out of it. You know, you were like out in the woods and there was not much atmosphere going on. And I think they've changed that. They've encompassed the whole golf course, the whole fan experience. So, it creates a whole atmosphere. You know, obviously the way CBS televised it, you know, hopefully we keep the drama up as well with the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and then you get a few guys who say, majors are key. Everybody, majors are the most important events to win. That's the yardstick how we're kind of all measured. So guys really want to step up and win the PGA now.
You know, Nick, I was doing some numbers crunching here, and I mentioned the last five PGA winners, the big names there, and the average winning score in those events is 268. Actually, it's like 268. It's 268.2. And obviously going back to 2002 when Tiger won at Bethpage and 2009 when Lucas Glover won, the average score there was closer to 280. It was like 277 change. Do you think this winner will be closer to high 270s or high 260s?
270s. Yeah, I take 278 right now and sit in the clubhouse. Seriously, I mean, it's long, it's windy, and even if it does warm up, you know, they've got a brute of a first day or two, you know, especially these morning sessions. These morning sessions on Thursday and Friday could be brutal. That could make or break your scores.
It's Nick Faldo with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Nick, BT mentioned how you won three Masters championships. One of those was in 1996. Yep, exactly. So which means that you were the presenting former champion to Tiger Woods when he won his first major, obviously his first Masters in 1997. Now you look at him. Just a few weeks ago, he wins another Masters. A lot of people thought he was done. And you've watched this from both on the course as a peer and now as an analyst. Can you put into perspective how, I guess, miraculous or fantastic this resurgence is in Tiger Woods?
Yeah, that's a good word, miraculous. I mean, I didn't think this was possible at all. You know, as the years went by, and everybody said, "Oh, you're just going to flip the switch, wait for him to flip the switch," but that just doesn't happen in our game quite like that. And then he managed to, thanks to, you know, this has been an 18-month process. That once the fourth fusion went obviously very successfully, gave him a whole new lease of life. That wow, he could now not only be a golfer, but, you know, could live life pain-free. And he managed to build his game. And I think actually, you know, he had some limitations with that spine, which in a way I think has helped him, because you remember how he used to scream every time he lost his level on his downswing, his head would go down 6 inches or so. Now it doesn't. So actually swing, it looks really good. And then he gained amazing experience from last summer at Carnoustie. He was tied for the lead, 9 to play. And of course, a year ago at the PGA, you know, he couldn't hit the golf course yet. He goes out in 2 under, and I thought, well, if he can do that, he can now do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he wins at Eastlake. He then beat Rory a couple of weeks prior to the Masters. Everything kind of started to fall into place. And then I said to myself, look, he knows that the pressure needed to win the Masters. And, you know, it's the most intense pressure on that back nine, because everybody's seen success and failure. And it's all about, you know, when pressure hits, it goes to your nerve ends. And that's the number one thing you need at Augusta, the nerve and touch. So I kind of sense, wow, what a great opportunity. If he can hang with these guys, he knows they're going to get wound up, and maybe he can just slip in the right time. And that's exactly what kind of happened at 12th hole.
That's it's amazing.
You know, he got some couple of great, he played some great golf. Of course, he got some fantastic breaks. He made two birdies out of the trees at 14, you know, Thursday and Friday. And then on Saturday and Sunday, he hits it in the trees at 12, but it runs all the way through to the walkway, so he gets away with that. So that was his kind of lucky break, in a way, that how those four holes transpired. He could have played those in two over, instead he plays them in two under. So that's the huge difference there. So and then the motivation of wanting to win again, because he just wants to. If you're going to go out, you want to go out as a champion. If he was to stop tomorrow, he would feel relief that, wow, I won again. Everybody remembers me for winning, rather than remembers me for 11 years of talk about everything. So that was what was amazing. And then, of course, it was an amazing week. The atmosphere at Augusta National, that 18th green, was quite unbelievable. And the celebration was something, you know, that's all I blurted out. We will never see a scene like this ever again in our lives.
And it's not hyperbole. I mean, his mom was there, and it was so important for him to see his kids, for his kids to see him as a champion, and
exactly. That was number one. I wanted my boys, my children, to see me as a champion. See how Tiger was used to play, not coming home, you know, beaten up.
Yeah.
So it was the perfect storm. But yeah, sure, he had to make it happen.
Well, it's Sir Nick Faldo, and I want to leave you with this here. You know, one thing we know about Bethpage in the New York, New Jersey area, there's a different energy. It's almost like a football event. It's raucous. It's crazy. And the villain was Sergio back in 2002. We know Tiger's going to get a hero's welcome. Is there a villainous character this? Who do you think the fans, if anybody, does anybody latch on to somebody and make his life miserable like they made Sergio's back in the day, or no?
I don't know. Well, you know, Sergio... Yeah, beat up the golf course early in the season. They might pick on him on that one.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I think everybody. I think they just love everybody. They just want to spread the word of love and happiness and give every professional a hug.
Yeah,
I feel it's going to be this week.
That's
perfect,
us.
Perfectly politically correct.
That's us.
Good job, Sir Nick.
The best, Sir Nick, lead analyst, CBS, with the great Jim Nantz. Have an outstanding couple of days. We'll be watching. Thanks for carving out some time, Nick. We appreciate it.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
There you go. Sir Nick Faldo.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.